Now, we're going to talk football kits now, because I'm delighted to say we're joined by John Blair, who's written a book called A Culture of Kits, The Definitive Guide to Classic Football Shirt Collecting. And John joins us now. John, thanks ever so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. Morning, Martin.
Yes, good morning to you. So you've been collecting shirts, apparently, for 30 years. How many have you got?
The collection right now is probably about 500. And, you know, part of it's just being a stereotypical Scotsman and just not throwing any kits out. So I've added to it over the years. And, yeah, it's grown from there.
Yeah, well, I've got a question from one of our listeners. Who says, very good evening, morning to everyone. A question for the guest. What kit does John rate as the best of all time? With, I think he's got a particular spot in his hit parade for Sampdoria's beautiful blue ribbon efforts. Dan, it is, who's sent this question. He says, a completely unbiased fan heading to the Studio Luigi Ferrari in Geneva for tomorrow's game. So clearly a Sampdoria fan. Is that a particularly famous shirt?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, Sampdoria, obviously known for the kind of classic nature of their kits. They've had some great designs over the year. I mean, the Scudetto winning kit of the early 90s is a big one, definitely. And I think Serie A more broadly, you know, that's a hard question to answer in terms of the greatest design. Personally, my leaning probably is more to the Fiorentina kits, so the 98-99 Nintendo ones by Fila. I'd probably go for one of those.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously a very specialist subject, isn't it? I mean, people aren't collecting these in a sort of casual way, just, oh, I've got an old Arsenal shirt or whatever. These are people who are paying, I would think, quite a lot of money for some of these shirts.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably two different flavors of it. If you think of the common fan, they're probably buying their team kit every single year, and so naturally they're building up a collection of a certain club or nation. But absolutely, there's a more kind of niche pocket of the industry that's really kind of looking at certain kits from certain eras and really going after those. And in terms of the pricing, I mean, that was the main motivation for me writing this book. I was curious on why some of the kits from the 90s are worth hundreds, if not thousands of pounds for the standard kit you could have got from the shop for 30, 40 at the time, versus other kits that go on to be worth close to nothing. And so I wanted to delve into what actually makes a kit a classic and what are some of those factors that can lead to price inflation as time goes by.
Yeah, I mean, what does make a shirt a classic? I mean, I assume that the shirts that players wear these days with all the, you know, with the advertising on them, that would reduce their classic status, I would think.
Yeah, so this, I mean, the most common argument is obviously design, and that's definitely part of it. The shirt has to look good. But from the data that I looked at, there's some amazing designs out there. But if they're associated with failure on the pitch, people don't have the same warm memories and nostalgia for those kits or those players. And so therefore, they kind of fade away. And so if you think about that, then really success on the pitch is the number one factor that will drive up the price. But also player association. You know, we all love football. We love goals. We love moments. And whilst we have our teams, we have soft spots for certain players from our generation, if you like, of when we started watching football. And so whether that's Baggio in the Premier League, your Bergkamps, your Zolas. And so from the data that I pulled, if a shirt's got a print set on the back of it, so a name set, the price is likely to be about 40% higher now than it would be without the print set. To your point on the new kits, I think there is, you know, it's hard to get excited about some of the sponsors, maybe the betting companies and some of the digital currencies and what have you. And so I think that is a bit of a detractor from modern kits. That being said, there is some kind of fun and interesting things happening. If you think of, you know, Barcelona with a Spotify sponsor, they're able to mix it up and have different bands on there game to game. I think Coldplay was on is targeting the classic kit collectors. And then maybe a bit of a shocking stat, Mon. I don't know if you know how much that shirt went for, but it was £399 retail, and it sold out instantly. And so that shows you this huge demand, even at that price point, for those kind of modern bespoke kits.
Wow. How did you start collecting? I mean, presumably you must have had a fair, you know, tell us what team you support and how it all started, because at some point you must have had one kit.
Yeah, it started, I mean, Yeah, my team is Manchester United, so I followed them for kind of 30 years or so. It started with just picking up kits here and there. And when you're traveling and going to games and different things, I would kind of amass kits over the years. I'd say in the last kind of 5 to 10 years, I've got a little bit more target on certain kits that I'm going after, depending on whether it's a project like this book or the next one that I'm writing at the moment, as well as trying to hunt down some of the ones that are generally considered all-time greats. And so I try and remain focused. Although the collection's quite big at 500, it's not an ambition to have the biggest collection. It's more about trying to make it tailored towards the certain kind of leagues or players that I'm interested in.
Yeah, and you know, you say you've got 500 shirts yourself. Presumably the book, which is a very handsome book, and it would cost you £30. I presume that's because it's lavishly, I mean, I've got the book myself here, but I presume it's because it's quite lavishly illustrated with pictures of some of these 500 shirts.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think that's the appeal of this book for a lot of people. It's a large coffee table style, 150 pictures of kits going back 40 years from a variety of leagues and nations, and phenomenal design work, I should say, by Duncan, owner of Owner Media. So he really partnered up with me to try and looking at it and make it look as good as possible.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it does. As I say, I've not seen the thing myself. How did it all start, this shirt collection? Not for yourself, but how did it become, you know, a national trend? How did it become that popular with football fans? Because I mean, I actually seem to remember going to football in the 70s, and nobody was that particularly bothered with the shirts that people wore, you know, occasionally. Yeah. And certainly nobody in the crowd, not now. You know, like now, go to Newcastle, everybody's got, you know, got the team shirt on. 60s and 70s, that didn't happen.
Yeah, and so I think there's a little bit of history and a generational piece to this. So if you think of those kits from the early days, they weren't that differentiated in terms of design, manufacturers. They were fairly standard. And so if you think about what happened in the 90s, there was a few things going on. So firstly, the launch of the Premier League, Football Italia became very accessible on terrestrial television, the rebranded Champions League. And actually, you covered some of this in your book, Sit Down and Cheer, so you know it well. But that made football much more accessible to a generation. And so therefore, they were able to see those moments, build that nostalgia for those players. Now, in conjunction with that, the design started to get more expressive. Globalization with the internet obviously kind of came into play, and so people were able to buy these kits online, whereas previously, how would you have got hold of a J-League shirt from Japan or an Argentinian shirt without traveling there? And so it's a combination, I think, of visibility through kind of television coverage, accessibility with the kind of internet and being able to source those kits. And then the other part that comes in is obviously the cultural component. I think I cover it in the book, but there's this concept of the 30-year rule that people generally kind of reach a period of prominence in their industry, whether that be media or fashion, around their kind of mid-30s to 40s. They're the ones that are deciding kind of what's popular from a cultural perspective, and they tend to have nostalgia for your youth. And so we're in a period right now where the 90s is very much in vogue, not just football shirts, but fashion, music, etc. And so I think that's playing a part in as well in terms of this moment in time.
Yeah, what's your favourite Manchester United shirt then? Presumably it would be the shirt that was worn by players in the era when you were growing up.
Yeah, exactly. I think everyone has that natural bias, don't they? For they think the golden generation is somewhere between the 10th and 16th birthday. And so for me, you know, it's probably that Manchester United black 1995 away kit, the Eric Cantona Kung Fu. You know, that's one that I really love from the United collection.
Yeah, and you live in Utah these days. You know, we always say Manchester United fans, oh, they tend to live in Bournemouth or Guildford or somewhere well away from Manchester, but not usually as far away as Utah. Presumably you're working out there, are you? Or are you a Mormon?
No, it was a transfer from work, and so I moved out from London. I work in private equity in an asset management company. And there's a growing fan base in the US. I try and get to a couple of games a season for United, either traveling home or seeing them out here when they come out on the preseason tours, generally to kind of California. And so try and keep up with it that way.
Brilliant. Well, John, best of luck with the. I'm presuming at the moment you've got West Ham later today. which it was two sort of troubled teams, two teams with managers who are looking a bit beleaguered at the moment. Are you confident United can win at the London Stadium?
Oh, I mean, it's just, it's unpredictable, isn't it? So the one.
Yes. Oh.
Obviously inconsistent. You know, there's a need to get that consistency. But at the same time, you know, there's a generation of people who grew up under the Fergie era and it was getting a little bit boring winning all the time. You know, the Van Gaal era was horrific to watch, particularly for me when you're getting up at 5 a.m. in the morning to watch 0-0 draws with, you know, 80% yeah. possession. So whilst the results aren't there, at least the games are entertaining. So, yeah, tomorrow I'm sure will be a good game and hopefully they can get the result.
And the great advantage for you is you'll be able to watch it live because you've got to, is it on Fox over there or ESPN?
They've switched, Peacock and then NBC. And NBC, yeah, it's, yeah, I mean, again, it's becoming really high profile. Gary Neville started to come over and present the coverage. And so, yeah, it's getting a lot more traction.
Excellent. All right, well, John, thanks ever so much for joining us. The book's called A Culture of Kits, The Definitive Guide to Classic Football Shirt Collecting, and it's published by Pitch Publishing. Thanks ever so much, John.
Perfect. Thanks, Martin.